The reason for that was that people did not name their children names that sounded cute or sweet, or even that were something along what we might call a junior, be it male or female. Instead, a child was observed for its personality, its ways, its uniqueness. The name that they were given reflected their character as well as their likely future. God's angel told Joseph and Mary to name their son Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Jesus was to be given that name because he would save his people from their sins, Mary and Joseph were told. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the Word, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, or Christ, Rabbi, the Son of God, and the King of Israel. Later, a Jewish leader called Jesus a teacher who had come from God. But by the time we get to John chapter 3, and we look at verses 14 through 17, we find that Jesus gives himself some names as well. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The first term Jesus uses to identify himself came from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It speaks of a person called the Son of Man. It's a heavenly figure who, in the end times, is entrusted by God with authority, with glory, and with sovereign power. That person must be God's only Son, which is Jesus' second term for himself. God is demonstrating the highest and the truest love in visible ways. He will save his people who believe in and trust him from the consequences of their sin. Love is always God's motivation for speaking and for acting. It's the reason God created the universe, and it's the reason God created every human being. Love characterized the relationship between God and Adam. That relationship is one that God has always wanted with every human being who has ever lived. Jesus' love led him to miraculously feed 5,000 people, as we read about in John chapter 6. And those people identified him as the prophet who is to come into the world. These people had seen Jesus miraculously heal people of every kind of ailment, every kind of impairment that they had. And he had miraculously fed them, all in plain sight. We might today call it complete transparency. And so these people, this crowd of people, followed Jesus to experience more. What more could this man do? What more power, what more mightiness might he express? Because of his love, though, Jesus wanted more for these people than they even knew that they wanted and needed. John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35, shows Jesus moving their conversation from the immediate physical concerns that they had into everlasting spiritual concerns which he had for them. We read, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? Doesn't that sound like an absolutely idiotic question? After all they had seen already, how could they be so foolish as to ask a question like this? But they don't. And they continue, what will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Because of his love, God provided his people Israel with manna. It was a kind of bread. He did so while they traveled for 40 years throughout the desert. God provided them day by day with everything that they needed for physical life. But now, as Jesus speaks, he says that God has lovingly provided the world with the true bread, his Son, Jesus, the Christ. Eating this bread would bring eternal life to people who would come to Jesus in belief. But human thinking, human reasoning, and human sensibilities often block us from God. And we see that here as the story continues in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread who came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, Moses reminded Israel that God had humbled them, causing them to hunger. And then after causing them to hunger, God fed them with manna. And he did that to teach them that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We remember this particular phrase from Jesus' temptation at the very outset of his ministry, when he was in the wilderness and Satan came to tempt him. But what we really find as we think about what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 6 is that Jesus himself personified God's life-giving word. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning in verse 7 and on through chapter 3 and verse 4, tells of God calling Ezekiel to eat God's word. God says to Ezekiel, "You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." What would God give Ezekiel to eat? "Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it.' So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, 'Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them.'" The Jews knew this story, but they still did not understand Jesus and his words. Why? Why did they not understand what Jesus was saying, given how well they knew these words given to Ezekiel? Like us, they struggle to fit a spiritual reality into a physical context. Jesus is the bread of life. Understanding his teaching affects our lives forever. So Jesus repeated himself in John chapter 6 in verses 53 through 58. Jesus said to them, these Jews were having such a hard time understanding this concept of eating Jesus. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus is the bread of heaven. We must realize that who Jesus is. We must realize why he came from heaven to earth. And so we must come to him in faith. We must eat him or take him into us to become one with him. When Jesus established this new covenant during the Passover feast, he told his followers that when they ate the bread, they were eating his body. They were taking him into themselves to be one with him. Would you bow in prayer with me right now? Father God, creator and master of the universe, we bow before your majesty. We are humbled that you love us so much, that you love us more than we can imagine loving anyone, that you love us more than we can understand. We're thankful that you were willing to give the greatest, most precious sacrifice, your Son. As we eat this physical bread, help us to realize that spiritually we are eating or taking into ourselves your Son. the bread of life, the bread of heaven, our Savior, our Master, the one who loved us more than his own life, the only sacrifice which could give us eternal life with you. As we eat the bread of heaven, help us respond to your love with our love and to give all glory to you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.